All right, everybody, welcome back to the Davenport Pulse. January is National Mentor Month, and today we are joined by two wonderful mentors from Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Mississippi Valley, Kayla Kesey and Sarah Sperry. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thanks for having us here.
Yeah, glad to have you. So before we get into questions, we usually have people tell us a little bit about themselves. So if you want to take turns telling us a little bit about yourselves.
Hi, I'm Kayla Kesey. I'm the Director of Events and Community Partnerships. So my role with the organization is to help fundraise and raise all those key dollars that help support the programs, the services, all the things that we do in the community to support families and the littles that are in our program, as well as provide activities and then our events. So we have a number of fundraisers in the community that are very distinct and well-known, that have had quite a longevity, if you will, in the community. So overseeing those and the team that implements those every year.
You do a lot.
Yeah, we do a lot.
You're busy. What about you, Sarah?
Yeah, I'm Sarah Sperry. I am the Chief Program Officer. So I oversee all of our team that really helps manage our actual big and little matches.
Awesome.
So everything from enrolling our volunteers and making sure that they're screened appropriately and we have a good idea of who they are and what type of little they would be a good fit with, working with our families, making sure that they, same thing, have a good expectation of what mentoring is and what their child would like in a big and how those people will fit together. And then overseeing our team of match support specialists who really are there to just be a support system from a Big Brothers Big Sisters perspective in terms of what those bigs and littles are doing and how we can support them.
I'm going to dive into questions.
Yes, dive into questions.
You go ahead. You take the first one. I got a whole list for you.
All right. So we're just curious about what areas do you serve here in the Quad Cities and elsewhere?
So Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Mississippi Valley is an affiliate of Big Brothers Big Sisters of America. So there are several agencies throughout, about 250 agencies throughout the United States. Our Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Mississippi Valley agency serves Scott County in Iowa. And then on the Illinois side, Rock Island, Henry, Mercer counties, those are primarily served from our Davenport office. But then we have two satellite offices. One is in Macomb. And serves the McDonough and Warren County area, and one is in Sterling, which serves the Whiteside County area. So a pretty broad service area, really. Yeah.
So how many matches do you guys have?
Active matches right now is about 300, but that number fluctuates throughout the year as we make new matches, as new matches close. So really within a calendar year, we're serving about 400-ish kids. That said, we have about 250 kids on our waiting list, like, all the time. No matter what we do, however many matches we make, we always have about 250 kids on our waiting list. So the need is always there.
And that's tough. I mean, I'm sure that's something that keeps you guys up at night, knowing that there's 250 children here in the Quad City region that are waiting to be matched. And the great thing about Big Brother, Big Sister, I've been part of Big Brother, Big Sister for a number of years as a big, and just the way that you match, like, my little and I were the perfect matches. But from what I understand, he had to wait for about 3 years before he was matched. So you guys are patient. There was a lot of personality tests that I had to take, a lot of interviews. It was a long process, but at the right time, or with being patient, it made sure that we were the right match together.
Yeah, that compatibility is a really important component of what we look at when we're working with our enrolling bigs, with our families and the kids, to make sure that, you know, we're being intentional in terms of what a big's experience is and what their strengths are, and how that can support a child and what their needs might be.
What is the average length of a match?
So our average length, just looked this number up this morning, right now is at 45 months. Okay. So just short of 4 years, right? We initially ask for a 12-month commitment of our bigs and our littles. Research around mentoring shows that it really takes about that long for those people to really get to know each other, really start to see positive outcomes in the little that we're looking for. But we love it when that relationship continues, because we know that after that initial 12 months, that relationship just relationship just continues to grow and those outcomes just keep getting stronger and stronger. So,
and that's pretty common, right? For the relationship to last more than just 1 year.
It really is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. About 86% of our matches get to that 12-month time frame. We would love for it to be 100, but we know life happens and sometimes that doesn't. But at least about 86% get to that 12 months. And then, yeah, they just, the ones that continue are of those matches that have closed 45 mm-hmm. months is our average.
So. That's awesome.
I think one of the things that makes it so successful with the mentoring for long term, like my little and I have been matched for 4 years and we have no plans of ending this. And
you got a good thing going.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. but it's just the support that I get from Big Brother, Big Sister, my match support, Emily, she reaches out to me. You have continuing education all the time with hot topics of what I will be experiencing when my little gets into high school and here next year. And just to help me out to navigate that and just knowing that if there was a concern or an issue, and thankfully we have not had one, but if I had one, that I would have that support to help me get through that.
Yeah, and that's a very key component of Big Brothers Big Sisters, because we're taking two people who don't know each other at all mm-hmm. and saying, like, go be friends and you be a mentor and you be a mentee and learn from each other and build this relationship. And there's some structure and there's some support that's really important to make sure that that is successful and that we work through challenges that are natural in any relationship. So,
and you're not only checking with me, but I know my match specialist, she goes to my little school and checks in with the staff there to make sure he's being as successful in the school setting. And then also checks in with his grandma who he lives with too, to see if there's any needs that he needs.
Yeah. We really do want to make sure that we're supporting both the big, the little, and the family as a whole to mm-hmm. give them as much support as we can and just, improve outcomes, improve that child's life and improve that family's situation.
Mm-hmm. So we're here to talk about National Mentor Month. How long has mentoring been around? When did mentoring start in the Quad Cities?
In the Quad Cities, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, mentoring has been around in the Quad Cities for very long time. Mm-hmm. Big Brothers Big Sisters of America originally started in about 1908. It's kind of like when the history of that specific organization started. Mentoring in the Quad Cities started, I believe it was with Catholic Charities. Don't quote me on that one. But but in 1987, 88, Kayla and I were just talking about this morning. It was right in one of those years that we officially became Big Brothers Big Sisters affiliate. And at that point, it was Quad City Big Brothers Big Sisters, shifted to Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Mississippi Valley later when we started to have a little broader service area. So 36-ish years that Big Brothers Big Sisters has been part of mentoring in the Quad Cities, in the area, yeah.
So what led each of you to Big Brothers, Big Sisters of the Mississippi Valley?
So I was introduced from my spouse, who was involved as a volunteer on the board of directors. And when a position opened up, of course, that was something I wanted to explore, knowing that my interests, my skills, my career goals could provide me an opportunity to connect with my community. In my former roles, I was more on a national level, where here I could actually make an impact with local families mm-hmm. and still do what I love to do, which is bringing people together, making that connection, having fun while we do it, and making an impact in the end, and knowing that when we come together with our community, partnerships are such huge to our organization, as you can probably imagine, mm-hmm. beyond just our volunteers. We can't do it without the businesses and clubs and other groups here in the community that give not only funds but time to help us put on the things that we do and host or serve as a venue or mm-hmm. donate, whatever that might be. Having that connection, that knowledge from at my spouse's level, I got involved. It'll be my almost 12 years now awesome. That I've been with the organization. And, every day is impactful, knowing that whatever decision you're making is going to end in hopefully a positive result. Mm-hmm. for everyone. So, yeah, it's a great organization and a great cause, and you know that you're changing lives.
Right.
And I am a little bit different. I really didn't know what Big Brothers Big Sisters did, which many people are like, I know it's a thing, but I don't really know the details of what that agency does. I started my career in education. I was a substitute teacher for a very short amount of time after I graduated from Augustana, mm-hmm. but then shifted into a role that was more of a family support, parent education, early childhood role, and really liked that family support field. So then worked in that field for quite a few years and then ended up going back to grad school, got a degree in public administration. And as I was interviewing with assorted nonprofits, which did family support, that I thought was really an important part of what I wanted to do, interviewed at Big Brothers Big Sisters and started there.
That's so awesome.
And I've been here for, it was 13 years in September. So.
Very cool. So what different roles have you played with Big Brothers Big Sisters? And like, what's a typical day look like for each of you?
I guess we've grown probably more in leadership, if you will, where when I came in, I was more of the coordinator doing all of the logistical little details, big details, that are involved in all the different events, fundraisers, et cetera, and has grown into more of, building partnerships where before I was behind the scenes kind of, mm-hmm. Where now you're more of building those partnerships to put on an event or a fundraiser, and then I now have additional support underneath me that handles some of those other details, marketing, et cetera, follow through that's necessary with those relationships that we're building. And so probably, you know, over the years it's been more of growing into leadership and work. Yeah, we have a bigger team than when I joined. So our organization's been very blessed to be able to grow in staff so that we can do the things that we see as essential and needed in this community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when I originally started at Big Brothers Big Sisters, actually after I graduated with my master's degree, I was an AmeriCorps member, which is a partnership.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that we a partnership that we still have through the city of Davenport. AmeriCorps is it's best described as like a domestic Peace Corps. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a partnership that we've worked with very closely. So, I originally started as an AmeriCorps member, served as a year. I was then hired on as staff. At that time, a big key focus of the agency was focusing on our middle high school, mostly middle school at that point, middle school mentoring expansion. We had really historically been a very elementary based mentoring population that we were working with. There were some community initiatives that were happening at the time that I started. That was part of my role, was really expanding into that middle school. And then now, so focusing on that when I first started, I was in that role for a couple years, and then shifted into overseeing just our enrollment and matching, then shifted into more of a senior director with recruitment, mm-hmm. and then into chief program officer. So I feel like I've really seen I've seen all of the parts on our program side, especially. And within that role, something that, you know, Big Brothers Big Sisters really focuses on is working strongly between our development team, our admin team, and our program team. So that's something that is a big key part of my role, is having our program team connected with what's going on with development, with admin, with our fundraisers, with those community partnerships. I think something that some people might not realize is Big Brothers Big Sisters does have a pretty large program staff. There's about 20 of us that work on our program team that are responsible for managing all of those volunteers and the components that go along with that in terms of enrollment. But then that match support side, there's a lot that goes into mm-hmm. making sure these matches are successful. So really, that's my day-to-day, is working with our enrollment and matching team, working with our match support, connecting with development, making sure that we're all doing what we need to do to have quality programming and that our staff is comfortable in their roles.
Kayla, can you just share some of the fundraising events that you're in charge of and bring to our community?
Yes. So in my tenure here at Big Brothers Big Sisters, you know, it was our goal's always been to keep those alive and thriving and growing, and they've seen quite a growth over the years. And the fun fact about Plant Sale, which is our most longstanding largest fundraiser that we do here, that I think most people are familiar with, started to help raise money so we could have staff to support our mission and our organization. And I just learned that myself here last year when somebody came to Plant Sale, and we were just I was hearing our president speaking, you know, talking with her, and was listening in, and how she was telling me the history and how our plants came to be, why we did the plant sale, over 35 years. So, yes, that fundraiser itself is grown in so many different ways. We're beautifying our community, that in turn, all those dollars are helping support, families and the bigs and littles in our program. So, plant sale, huge one, every May leading up to Mother's Day, so that we can give the gift of flowers to teachers, to mothers, to guardians, and beautify our landscape. And then we, in the summertime, we do have a golf outing that's going into its 12th year. That was began to celebrate our 25th anniversary here in the community. And then it just keeps on rolling because people just enjoy getting together and networking on the course and making that impact. It's a great networking event that we do in the summertime. So that has been a great fundraiser for us. And then our next would be Putt Around, which is coming up next here next month, the beginning of February, which is celebrating 19 years, which is so exciting because this event is truly unique. And I feel like everybody should know what this event is. And you still talk to people or run into people and they're like, what is that? Mm-hmm. So it is miniature golf. If you think of it as a child when you were going to a miniature golf course, maybe on a family vacation. And so the concept was built off that to try to find something that everybody can relate to and everybody can do. Skill level's not really necessary to putt. although some people get competitive for sure with this event. But it happens over 3 days where the community comes out, they sign up in teams, then they come and play, network, have a great time with food, music, prizes, little challenges that are throughout the course. But this course is truly creative, being custom built by local businesses. These businesses make it possible for this event to happen. And the creativity is just out of this world. Mm-hmm. The things that they come up with in intertwining what their industry is to create that hole that people are playing and the obstacles, whatever the challenge is to get into the cup, et cetera. So the businesses just do an amazing job in building these holes that the community can come out and enjoy. Mm-hmm. And it's a great team building activity and bringing the community together. We'll have 1,500 people that come and play the course that's indoors at the River Center. And I don't think there's much like it, that I've heard about anywhere else. But so that event's coming up in February. So we really encourage people to sign up and come and enjoy that and see what it's all about. Bring your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends, have a date night. Bring the girls, have a girls' night out, whatever that may be. Please consider coming out and forming a team, because all those dollars, the registrations are helping the organization and bringing everyone together to have a great time for a great cause. And then the last one that is slightly new, we're going into our seventh year, is called Over the Edge, which brings out the adventure in people and some maybe a bucket list item that some people might have that was brought to us few years ago. And of course we questioned, can we do this? Will people want to rappel down a building? So we have partnered with Hotel Blackhawk every year, and they've been just a true partner in making that possible and believing in our efforts and knowing that it's a safe endeavor. It's 140 feet, 12 stories down from the roof to the ground. And every year we have about 100 people that take that leap of faith and believe in themselves and in the possibility of actually doing something that they may not have otherwise done. Mm-hmm. We have people that are doing it with their spouses. They might be doing it with a son or daughter. We've had a big and a little do it. You do have to be 18, but for some of our littles who are just getting to that, graduating out of the program and going into their future of, and they will go down with their big.
That's very cool.
We've had coworkers, friends that have lived long distance apart that come. We've had people come from out of state to do it. Just so many reasons that people do it that may not have otherwise. And, you know, as it's grown and as it's developed, we've realized that the mission of that event and what we do, it has a real good correlation that it takes a lot to believe in yourself and to find the courage to face a challenge, whether that be asking somebody to support you, because through this event, people have to ask for donations and ask for people to support them. That goes to this mission that they're passionate about. And so they're having to believe in themselves that, yes, I can go ask for somebody for help. I can go ask somebody to support me and spread that word about what Big Brothers and Big Sisters is all about. And so it takes that courage. Just like our children in our program, they face a lot of challenges and obstacles, and we're there trying to help them see that they can believe in themselves, that they have a future, and we are here to support them and make that possible. And so the two kind of really come together nicely with this event. Yes. And that message. And then the event really reaches borders because we're reaching people donating from California and Canada and Florida and across the seas. People are donating from all over because as the edger knows friends, family, past college buddies that live who knows where are donating to them. So it's spreading the message of what Big Brothers Big Sisters is all about across the country, and hopefully it helps the other chapters in those areas too. When somebody hears Big Brothers Big Sisters or sees a billboard and say, "Oh, I know what that is. I donated to so and so who went over the edge." So it's just a really cool event that comes up at the end of August. And so definitely if that's something that somebody's just eager to take on their bucket list, or they've always wanted to find an adventure or something to do with somebody, maybe they're celebrating their 50th birthday or a special anniversary. Why not? Let's do something.
I feel like if you could talk to each person, they would be sold immediately. I'm like, yeah, sign me up, because you just sold it to me right there. It's such a good event for such a great cause. Who thought of that? Who is the idea person behind Over the Edge? Because that is so unique and so creative.
Yeah, there's a global company. It's an international company, and that their whole sole purpose is to help nonprofits across the country to raise the funds that they need to help their mission. And it came to us after an organization released the agreement that they had. So within our market, based on the size of your market, depends on how many of these events can be held, because you're dealing with the outreach and trying to engage people. And so in Chicago, you could have two or three Over the Edge events because you don't have, you have a lot of people to draw from. In our area, you can only have one based on the demographics. So when it was released by another organization, they were looking for a nonprofit, and we were contacted. So after some really serious conversations, can we take on this risk? Yeah, Is this something people will want to do? It's become our second largest fundraiser. So it'll raise close to $170,000.
Wow.
And we have companies that are signing up teams, so they're getting coworkers to do it together, as well as just individuals and couples. And we have what's called daring duos, because what we recognized from the first couple of years is people are like, well, I want to rappel with so-and-so, or I know so-and-so, and I'd feel a lot better if I could go down with, XYZ. And it's like, so daring duos makes the most sense, because you find somebody you want to do it with, that you can experience it with, that will help motivate you. I had to have that. I went down with a really good friend, and she and I had to keep each other focused.
Yeah.
And say, okay, we can do this. Let's go. And she was, just keeping you in a mindset of, yes, I am going to do this. I am going to get down. And also for the fundraising, it's more fun to do it with somebody.
Sure.
And so we have the Daring Duo and Fearless Teams. And so, yeah, we've had fun with that one and growing it and kind of getting people engaged.
And you get to pick your own song to rappel to, which is so cool.
Yes, you do. So what's your jam? You know, when you're in the car and you want to turn it up, what makes you feel good? What inspires you? That's right. What we try to get people to think about. It's like, okay, what's that song that's going to get you from point A to point B?
Well, my hope is people listening to this podcast decide in whatever way they feel comfortable in supporting Big Brother, Big Sister, if it's buying that plant, if it's going over the edge, if it's taking that plunge and deciding to becoming a big brother or big sister, what is something that you would tell someone that's on the border right now and thinking, I might want to be a big, but I don't know if I have the time for it. I don't know if I have the commitment. I don't know if I'm the right person. I'm worried that the kid may not like me. So what would you say to that person who's thinking about this right now listening?
Yep. Well, one, I will say we have a very large population of people who are awesome bigs. We have anywhere from like 18, 19, 20 year olds up to, I believe our oldest is maybe 85-ish. So like, and everywhere in between. Big variety of life experiences. I think from the perspective of, is this something that I'm capable of? Everybody is. I mean, really, everybody has something to offer. The biggest commitment is being consistent. But even with that, you are not expected to go out and like, I'm going to go mentor now. Mm-hmm. It's really, I'm going to go spend time and hang out and get to know this child. And that's what we want you to do. And if you have questions about what that will look like, we just want you to reach out so that we can share more details. But really, it's getting together a couple times a month, either at school or out in the community, with a kid and getting to know them, doing some fun things together, learning what they like, learning what their strengths are, maybe learning what they might have some challenges with, and just being that consistent person there to help them through learning about themselves and learning how they can grow. We do ask that 12-month time commitment, and I know that that can be a challenge for some people, but if you break down into that 2 to 4 times a month, it really isn't too bad mm-hmm. at all. We also do have a new initiative that we've done. These just really started here this fall. It's called Big for a Day. Yeah. We've been doing them at many of our local schools, Davenport, Moline, Rock Island, Eldridge. We have some coming up in North Scott here this in January. But really working with our local school districts to give people a chance to see, like, what does it feel like to be a big? And they're great. It's a group experience. There's about 15 people that we work with, our community partners. The school identifies 15 kids who they think could be a good potential little or would benefit from having that additional adult role model, adult friend. And we basically let them see, like, this is what it's like. You come to school, you have lunch together, you play some games, and that's what being a school-based mentor is. Mm-hmm. So that is an opportunity for people who might just be on the fence and want to know what that's like. We are also going to be having some that are a little bit more community-based experiences, but very similar, so that you can have a chance to see, like, what would it be like to go bowling or go to the arcade, or we're going to be doing that at our upcoming put-around of fundraiser. We'll have a night where all of our families, bigs, littles, are able to come anyway. So we will have that as an opportunity for a person who says, I might be interested, but I don't really know. Come and try it out. See what it's like. It's really not as intimidating as I think many people think mm-hmm. when they hear the word mentor. We know that mentoring is really important. Research shows about 1 in 3 kids are growing up without a mentor, whether it's a natural mentor or a more formal mentor, like through Big Brothers, Big Sisters. But that mentoring happens by getting to know the child and developing that relationship. That's what mentoring is. It's not like I need to feel like I know all the things to be a mentor. Mm-hmm. Be a positive person, be an adult, show your life experiences, share with that child what you think is important to you, listen to what they feel is important to them, and then that's really how mentoring happens.
Ellie, you got to be a big for a day.
I did.
At Jefferson School a few months ago. So what was that experience like for you?
It was awesome. Keegan and I had a great time. We played a couple games. I got to know him. He He shared with me what he was going to be for Halloween. And it was great. And it was over the lunch hour. It was so easy. Mm-hmm. You guys made it the easiest, most fun experience for me. I can't wait to do it again. And I would encourage anybody to, it's over your lunch hour. You don't really have an excuse. Just go do it. And mm-hmm. it's so fun. You won't regret it. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yep. And even if you do that big for a day experience and you still are like, you know what? I still don't know if I'm ready to commit to what being a big is long term. It also gives you a chance to learn more about all of the other things that we're doing within our agency, because there are lots of other volunteer opportunities mm-hmm. that don't take a 12-month time commitment where you're spending that time individually with a kid.
Yeah,
Kayla, do you want to share any more about some of those?
Yeah, we have several people that, you know, volunteer to be on a committee, a planning committee. If you have an interest in, you know, planning events and doing things in the community that connects people, you can join one of our committees that our area oversees. Also plant sale, for example. We need about 200 people to come out and help make that possible. We unload 3 semi-loads of flowers. When we talk about the scope of that, when you think of 2,500 hanging baskets or 3,000 flats of flowers, it takes a lot of manpower, a lot of hands to unload those trucks and organize all those flowers and have them delivered or assist somebody as they come to pick up their flowers. So that's a huge volunteer opportunity for people to come and do in teams or individuals, or if that's just, you know, if you love working outside or with plants, it's a great way to give back and get involved with that event. So a lot of our events have volunteer opportunities just to come and be there during the day and help us execute them successfully and flawlessly. You know, and to add what they, you know, Sarah was kind of saying, you know, we all had mentors in our life somewhere along the lines, and being able to pass that on or see that these kids are not potentially not getting that at home or in school. This is just an added another option opportunity for them. And then what Andrew had said earlier, that matching them, I just hear so much from people from that you do so well matching us and our interests. Like, you know, if you like to go fishing, let's find a big that likes to go fishing. Mm-hmm. and that's how it works. You know, you do go through a number of layers to get that sorted out so that you're not going in there and you have nothing in common. So I find that's amazing. I hear that all the time from the matches. How common and they have in, you know, together, and how quick their relationship just grows.
I can't say it enough, and we've had those conversations time and time again, Kayla, with my little. I'm like, how did you come up with this? Because we have all the similar interests. He's easy to talk to. He loves to be active, and it's very natural, relationship with him. So big brother, big sister, whatever your magic is that you come up with your relationships, it's working. Keep on doing it. Believe in the process, because I've enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to the high school years with my little.
Can you tell our listeners who may be interested in joining or signing up to become a big or donate or get involved somehow, where can they find more information online?
Yep. Best is, our website, BBBSMV, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Mississippi Valley.org. Best way to find it. All of the information is on there. We have details about our upcoming Big for a Day events, the schools that they'll be at, with some sign up links mm-hmm. for those. Contact information, obviously, for all of our staff. If there's somebody in particular you want to reach out to learn more. There is a place that you can click to submit a brief inquiry form for becoming a big. If a parent or guardian is interested in learning more about potentially having their child enrolled, there's a spot that you can click to, you know, share some brief information. After that, we will follow up with a phone call and get that process started so that we can share more details about that. And then same thing, all of our fundraising events as they come up and as they're getting closer is shared on our main website. Some of them might link to an external website with a bunch of our additional details, but going to bbbsmv.org is the best place to find all that information.
And then another great thing about Big Brother Big Sister is every single week I get an email with all these events that 99.9% are free, sponsored by last month my little and I went to TBK. got to play video games for one full hour. The picnic, mm-hmm. my little Lowe's. He wants to go fishing again. I know we did that 2 years ago, so I got to throw that out for our picnic for 2024. But that was one of my little's most favorite things. And he got a brand new fishing pole out of that. He received a brand new bicycle during the spring events too. Yeah. So you guys make it very easy.
Yeah, and I think those are really great examples of how our program and our development teams just really work really hard together. We want free and low-cost activities for our matches. We don't want this to be a cost barrier for our bigs or for our families. And we also know that really we want it to be about the time you spend together, not about, like, how much does it cost to go do something.
Right.
So really that a lot of those partnerships that you're sharing, we have a great partnership with TBK, Figge Art Museum, just started one with Dick's House of Sport. And those are ongoing every month that those are offered. In addition to that, we have great community partners that provide sponsorship dollars to help us create some of those larger match events that involve our families, bigs, littles, and our waitlist families. Mm-hmm. All of those wouldn't be possible without that community support. And that's a huge part of what helps our programming be successful, because our matches don't have to just go out and figure out, like, what are we going to do today? They can go to the Y's for free. Mm-hmm. All of our matches get memberships to the Putnam Museum, to the Botanical Center. We have a great, great community that supports what's happening with our bigs and littles and our families.
That's awesome. All right. Well, Sarah, Kayla, thank you so much for taking time to join us today and tell us a little bit more about Big Brothers, Big Sisters of the Mississippi Valley and talk about Mentor Month. We appreciate you guys coming on. It was so great. Everybody sign up for the putt around in February.
Yes.
And we'll see you later. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.